So the way to deal with it is to pour out the fly, but pour out some of the drink also. So since it won't be purely psolos mitoch ochel, but it'll be ochel and psolos that's being moved, that will be the way to deal with it. And the Berhete quotes from the Maharitza alone that it's not even a tarovis in the first place, that since the fly essentially floats on top, so to take off that fly is not going to involve borer because it's not a tarovis in the first place. So the Mishnah Berurah agrees with that perspective, but still says that it's worth being machmir on this. And the Chazon Ish has a discussion in which he notes that it is a tarovis at the point of contact. It's not necessarily a tarovis for the whole cup, but where the fly is mixed in with liquid, so therefore there is a concern that to take that fly out by itself is going to be removing it from a tarovis in that localized spot, so therefore you have to bring more ochel with it to prevent that situation.
How is
it
that a local tarovis?
It's that the very spot where the fly is, so it's mixed in with water over there, so mixed in with liquid over there, whatever, the drink is surrounded by liquid. So in its immediate proximity, it's a mixture of fly and liquid. So if you're going to detach over there, you're going to be detaching psoles from the ochel. That's how we understood it. So therefore, to prevent that situation, you'd have to ratchet up the ochel quotient in order to address that. Jonathan?
Is the Chazon Ish saying that specifically because it's liquid, or do we say it with anything, like mashed potatoes and like peas?
I could imagine it being extended to other things, but it seems to be a function a little bit of liquid's ability to surround something and to possibly say about other things too.
Why is this subjective?
Sorry?
Why is this subjective?
Yes, a lot of the issues of Borer, that's what we mentioned yesterday, that Borer has a number of complexities to it, and a lot of it has to do with the more than one subjective issues that are usually presented. Just another issue to follow up from yesterday, when we mentioned the point about the la'altar and the question, a number of issues to figure out about la'altar. One of them is it a principle that's limited to borer? Because maybe borer somehow is defined by it being for a later purpose, and if it's not for a later purpose, then it's not borer. Or is it that there is a general principle that la'altar things are mutter, whether that's because we call it derech achila or something else? But is it a general principle applied by other things? So we saw this as somewhat of a machlokas. So just to fill in a little bit about this machlokas, so there's a Magen Avraham that kind of quotes statements in both directions. So just to clarify how that happens, because it helps us to illustrate the 2 points of the machlokas. So the Rashba in his Chuvus says that this applies to tochen also, that something that's being chopped up for immediate usage is mutter, tochen altar is mutter, and the Shulchan Kibarim disagrees. The Shulchan Kibarim basically says, what, you think this applies to every malacha? This is a borer thing, this is not something that is applicable to everything. So there's a Magen Avraham that kind of quotes them both in the same sentence in the opposite directions, because he's dealing with the question of schita. Is it permissible to do schita, which is itself an aspect of dash or borer or both? Is it permissible to do schita for immediate usage? And while there were those who were makel on that, the Magen Avraham objects, quoting both the Rashba and the Shulchan Kibarim. You know, Shulchan Kibarim's expression that it doesn't apply by all malachos, and the Rashba, who, yes, extends it to tochen, but why should you think beyond something like tochen? So those two opinions that he's quoting together are really arguing with each other, but nonetheless, he brings them together. In a different comment, the Magen Avraham does note that not everyone agrees with the Rashba. The Ramah importantly quotes the Rashba, but the Magen Avraham notes that not everybody agrees. Most later poskim, I believe, do accept the Rashba. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about that, which we'll talk about in the context of tochen as well. But the yesod here seems to be that if the Magen Avraham wants to accept the Chiddush, at least in this statement, accept the Chiddush by tochen, but not by tzchita, so how could you distinguish between schita and tochen? So again, you have to say, like we alluded to yesterday, that there could be some malachos that are an inherent part of the eating process. Maybe it's not limited to borer, but maybe it is limited to something which is inherently part of the borer process, part of the achila process. And schita is not inherently part of the process and is a pre-achila activity. it may be in very close proximity to achila. Maybe you're going to drink it a second later, but it's still considered to be essentially a pre-achila activity. The Taz is willing to extend this to breaking letters. We alluded to this yesterday. When you're eating food, and others objected to this, Rav Asher Weiss notes that apparently the Taz sees this as not a function of any specific shein malacha. It doesn't have to do with borer or anything else. It has to do with the way you do a malacha. But if the malacha you're doing is in the process of eating, so then perhaps that's not considered to be a malacha to begin with. We find in general that even if you don't hold that there is a het to the altar by other malachos, there still is a concept of derech achila, which seems to apply very broadly. That's, it's a little bit more absolute than the altar. So, for example, the Prima Garden says that you can take seeds out of fruit to eat miyad, and possibly even for Oso Suda. So Oso Suda, we'll get to this in a few minutes, that's usually a definition of La'alter. And so apparently the Prima Garden is saying there's two different levels. There's La'alter, but there's even more than La'alter, even more immediate, that you're really immediately going to eat it. So that's perhaps even better. You know, it's noteworthy that sometimes people summarize the Gemara over here in Ayin Daled Amud Aleph. They summarize the three conditions. So they say that it has to be ochel mitoch psoles, and the other two, biad and miad. So it rhymes, so it sounds like a nice way to say it, but that's not really the way the Gemara says it, right? The Gemara says it la'alter. So la'alter may be interchangeable with miad, it may not be interchangeable with miad. I can't tell which way you're going.
There's one Aramaic, one Hebrew?
Yeah, but they aren't necessarily exact definitions of each other. So it could be that la'alter has a broader scope than miad, and that even situations where la'alter is not a heter, it could be that miad is a heter. So that's itself a discussion. You find this in a few other contexts as well. The Bir Halacha, quoting the view of some of the Rishonim that we've mentioned in the past, that perhaps solos mitoch ochel is mutter miad. This is a view, by the way, which even contemporary poskim are willing to at least incorporate as a sniff. And when you have another Svar Lahakel, and the idea that Gapsolos Mitoch Ochel can be mutter if it's for immediate usage, especially if it means literally immediate usage in the more restricted sense we just mentioned a second ago. So you do find, but Willard talks about this in his Sefer, and Parfenis talks about this, you do find this view quoted at least as a Sniff Lahakel. This idea of Derech Achila, Vasha Weiss has a essay about this as well, where he suggests that there could be, again, a broad application of this idea that when something is in the process of eating, it's literally you're eating as you're doing it, then that itself may be a broadly applied heter. He talks about the Arsameach's question. He says, why is it permissible, if it's not a situation of pikuach nefesh, let's say, why is it permissible to nurse on Shabbos? Why can you allow the baby to do something which is essentially an act of dash? It seems like the situation of the aluka, remember that the Ibn HaOzer talked about that if you place an animal on your body with the intent that it's going to extract blood, so that should be a problem, which even as we saw the Magen Avraham even agrees that that's a problem. So why is it any different if you put a baby on your body with the intent of extracting milk? It seems to be the same type of having a malacha happen through your control. So why is that okay? He said, even if you want to say that somehow the fact that it's for the purpose of the baby makes it better, especially if it's pikuach nefesh, but even if it's not. But we know that sometimes nursing is done with the motivation really for the mother, because it's tzar for the mother to have a unnursed situation. So why should that be mutter? So as he suggests, that apparently there seems to be an idea here that when something is happening in the course of achila, so then perhaps that's not a malacha. And again, that's an even more pointed example than la'alter in terms of it being immediately used. Here we're saying that in the act of this malacha, there's also an act of achila taking place. So we find that to be perhaps an even more broadly used heter. Just to mention another example for the question. And the Shulchan Aruch does seem to indicate this, and the Shulchan Aruch has 2 days about whether or not one, this is a different form of the Metzitza Peh controversy, the question of whether you can extract juices with your mouth. So that's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. But the Mishnah Berurah points out that if we mean that while you're not just, this is the way you're juicing the item, but you're eating it, and in the process of eating it, you are extracting juice from it as you're doing it. So that, Mishnah Berurah says, is clearly mutter. And we also find the Shulchan Aruch says that we have the ability, we saw this in the context of Merakeid also, that if you're using a cup that sifts the liquid as you're drinking it, so it comes into your mouth in a form that is sifting it through, so again, that's also going to be mutter, that's also considered to be Derech Hatila. Sam, I'm sorry, you had a question for? Not sure what it was. Okay, we'll come back to it.
How do you define Miyad versus Alter versus Losa Suda?
There's a little bit of subjectivity, and all of those could be used interchangeably. Our point is that they're not necessarily always interchangeable, and that even a situation, Alter could sometimes be defined as Osa Suda. That Halacha L'maitza, Alter, we'll see, we'll get to it a little bit more. Alter is apparently defined by Osa Suda. Those two terms, for halachic purposes, seem to be identical. Miyad, some might also use them interchangeably. What we were saying a minute ago is that there is an even more focused definition of miyad, where even in situations where there's no hetzel alter, miyad can then take on a different meaning, where it's literally immediate, and then it may be mutter in that case, even if la alter itself wasn't enough of a hetzel. So now Sammy can keep his place in line from before.
is this idea that achila is not a malacha at all, even more so than the altar, because of derech achila, like the Rabbeinu Hananel, where he said
it's related. It's certainly
not malachas on Shabbos.
It's certainly consistent with Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel is an interesting way of putting it, but it's I don't think you necessarily have to come on to it. But yeah, it could be. You know, that ties into it, gives a little bit of malachas on Shabbos chazar at the same time. I don't know if there's a difference in how you express it one way or another. So I'm going to say yes. Why not? Gil.
How direct is like the Derech Achila? Because in the nursing case, it's like at the same exact time of the extraction.
Right.
Like, for example, like taking, you know, like a bone out of chicken or something like that, that's Derech Achila, but it's like more Derech Achila. It's like Derech
Achila. You're correct. And that's also, we'll get to the practicality of the bone and chicken in a minute. And it is Taka Machlokas, whether or not to see it that way. So this shows some of the subjectivity here. That in addition to everything else, we have if you want to count up how many subjective issues there are within Borer, so that itself is a subjective question. But there are a lot of potential ones. So this is one of them, that the definition of La'alter, Miyad, and Derech Achila may all be the same thing, or they may represent as many as three or four different stages in the same spectrum. So that's part of the challenge of this malacha, that you have that type of difficulty. In the interest of time, we won't spend a lot of time on it, but just recall that we looked at the Gemara and Kuflam and Tess in the days, and the Mishnah over there, where the Gemara talks about the Nosin and Beitza of the Misnenes. More recently, we looked at the Mishnah on Kuflam and Tess in the days in the context of Merake. But the very bottom of Kuf Mates and Bay is going to the top of Kuf Mem and Aleph. So the Gemara talks about a person who puts an egg through a mustard strainer, and there is mustard in there as well. And there it comes out that it's mutter. The Rishon quote two reasons, and the whole discussion why the two reasons. One is that both parts of the egg end up being ochel, and that also the desire to use this to put the mustard onto the egg, and vice versa, is not anything that makes it edible or not edible, but it's there for coloring, it's there for something which is less significant than its achila role. And we saw a little bit of discussion of how those two roles impact each other, how those two reasons impact each other, and different formulations. And the Rishonim, in the interest of time, we won't go into great detail about it now, but just remember that the Gemara exists, and that discussion exists as well. We talked a little bit about the halachic status of a kli, the idea that borer can't be done with a kli hamiyuchel b'kach. So there is a expression that the poskim have, or Moshe Feinstein has, and Sternbach has in the tshuva as well, that when we talk about not doing it with a kli, we mean a kli that facilitates the act of borer. If it's a kli that keeps your hands clean, but separation is going to be basically the same. So you're using a fork or a knife in order to keep your hands clean, but it's not because it necessarily makes it more of an active borer. So then that's not in this definition of kli to create a borer problem. We also saw that borer has to be tuminim. We assumed against the view of the Taz and like the view of the Shemus Adesh and the Ramah, that we need to be dealing with Tuminim. So what's considered to be Tuminim? So we mentioned yesterday from the Shvitza Shabbos, the Prima Garden has this as well, Prima Garden was earlier, that the definition of a min is if it has either the, if either the name is different or the taste is different. Therefore, as Mishnah Berurah points out, this will also impact even if you have different parts of the chicken or different styles of cooking chicken. That's also going to make them into tuminim because they taste different. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva working off the assumption that Berurah applies to begadim, which as we mentioned, he and many other contemporary postmen do accept, that if you're dealing with different colored clothes, so he considers that to be tuminim because, assuming this is the case, the person is machped to wear one color rather than the other for a certain purpose, so he needs it to be this color. So he considers that to be borer as well, because these are considered to be tuminim, because your interest in the different function makes them into different types. What's the definition of la'alter? That question was asked a second ago, so just now to get to the Oso Suda point. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. The definition of la'alter is that it's needed for that suda, and therefore it's not really a function of time. So you could theoretically have a situation where it could be used a few seconds later, and that's not called la'alter. Or you could have a situation where it's used hours later, and it is called la'alter. How could it be used hours later? Because first of all, the preparation of the suda might take an hour or two, let's say. So if you're spending an hour or two setting up, so then any of that time is considered to be for that next suda. It doesn't have to be pushed off till the end of the preparation time. And the suda itself could take 2-3 hours. So if you're preparing dessert at the beginning of your preparation, that's also going to be considered to be la'alter, even though you're not going to end up eating it for another 5 hours, so it's not a question of time as much as it is for its immediate usage. Or Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he notes that Mordechai has a language of not leaving it for a later hour, for a later shah. So he was asked if the hour means 60 minutes, how exactly do you calibrate it? And he responded that it doesn't work that way. It's not really a question of chronological time on the clock, it's a question of event time. So if your event is longer, then it's going to be longer than an hour. If your event is shorter, it's going to be shorter than an hour. It's not based on any actual unit of time. It's based on immediacy of usage. Yes, sir?
I think, Reid says or says somewhere else that as long as you're not doing anything else, like let's say you're going straight from shul to lunch, so you could do it right before you go to shul, since you're not like leaving yourself time later. Does that come up anywhere else?
It's interesting. It's usually find the post can say a little differently. The post can talk about. Sorry? Should wait until we'll come home from shul.
Yeah.
Right, so that's to say, they usually say the opposite. You know, we won't be chauvinistic here, but we'll say if someone of either gender happens to be home waiting for other people to come from shul, then. Right, this is Daven Hashkama. So the kids who, young boys who went home earlier, so it's, the postcum do, as Sammy pointed out, have that language of we should wait until people are coming home from shul, have come home from shul, but the idea before shul, to have shul not considered to be not a break in the altar kite, it's a little mechudish. You sure it's what he says? Alright, let me take a look again. So a fascinating issue that is brought up is, so what happens if you intend for it to be used la'alter and then you change your mind? So here the Levush is machmer in this. He thinks you have a potential Isser D'oraisa here. Others are much more makel for a variety of reasons. So the Elie Rabba says you can't violate it retroactively. And many have the attitude, such as the Mishnah Berurah and Tshuva Tzisarur's Tshuva has discussion about this, and the Madana Yantiv, that it all depends on what you are intending to do at the time. That's the act of Bar La'alter. If you happen to change your mind afterwards, so then that's really not so significant. And as some point out, that's also Derech Achila. Derech Achila is somebody will take something, think he's going to use it, and then change his mind. Doesn't make it any less Derech Achila. There are some possible caveats. Rav Harfinus has a tshuva where he wonders if we should say it's mutter if you're not sure if you're going to use it, if you're taking it misafik. He says maybe we're only talking about where you think you will use it and then you change your mind. And maybe taking it misafik, maybe we shouldn't we shouldn't be making wine. This doesn't mean necessarily if you're doing it for a number of guests and you're not sure how many you're going to eat it, so that's considered to be a vadai. That's part of normal preparation. You can't be a navi to know exactly who in your household or who among your guests is going to eat what. I don't think anyone would think that that's not considered to be la'alter. Some do point out, the Shuvas Mahalgis, Shterbach points out that within the Mishnah Berurah, that maybe we should be medayik in the language, that the Mekilim use the language of if you have left over. So maybe that's not the same thing as deciding not to use the item at all. Maybe it means that you use some of it and you end up having more than you needed, which again certainly helps with the guest situation if you needed help. But that maybe one should assume that you have to use a little bit of it, but that the Mekilim are saying that you don't have to use everything. So that's a little bit of a chumra within the Kula. The Shuvas von Haggis, yeah. Sorry? Saying that the Mekilim were saying, apparently, until we just possibly modified it, that all that matters is what you intend to do, and if you change your mind, then it doesn't make a difference. It still was under the rubric of intending to use it. So, Harfinus points out that maybe one should be medayik in the language of the Mishnah Berurah and others, who talk about something being left over, which maybe sounds like you didn't change your mind on the whole thing, you changed your mind on the quantity. You had a little bit of it, and then there's a lot more left than you thought, so then you could leave that for later. But not that you could change your mind on the whole thing and ended up doing an act of bravery for no immediate usage. So one could be machmir then to say you should use a little bit of it, but not necessarily everything, and you can leave over a large percentage. There is a fascinating tshuva, the tshuva von Haggis, where Schnurbach has the following situation. He says, what if you have the following setup? So you are setting up for lunch, and you do an active brera not just for lunch, but you also select for shal shudas. So you're not supposed to do that. That's for later. So that was an active brera be'isr. So we should constant you that you can't. That was done as a purposeful. Let's say even if you pretended you wanted it for lunch, but it was an intentional harama, you really wanted to do it for shal shudas purposes. So that's that maybe we should penalize you that you can't use this food for shal shudas. But, he says, there's no reason at all to say you can't use it for lunch. Because to go backwards is to say that we shouldn't let you use it la'alter when you intended to use it for later. So maybe we should continue that you shouldn't be able to use it the way you wanted to use it for later, but to use it for now to make it the mafreya la'alter, so there's no reason not to allow that, and therefore he is makeful on that type of retroactive alterizing. Yes, sir?
Would you be cutter from the carbon?
That's a good question.
Is it like taking the seeds from the ground before Shabbos is over?
Right, so the guy even did it kind of maze it, so it's interesting. The question was there hasra, so was he even eligible for a carbon to begin with?
Are you undoing the original?
I think his premise is that you're not undoing it, but that there's no svara to a knas in that direction. So you might as well eat it then. Is he actually saying that you're mataking the Islam of Freya, which is what you're suggesting? I don't think necessarily you're able to go that far, but that there's no logic to having a knas that would stop you from using it now. It would only make sense to stop you from using it later. There is a fascinating tshuva, the tshuva is Chelek Levi, which was maybe not so nogeya to most of our lives, but I found it particularly interesting because of the principles that he was invoking. He's talking about somebody who goes to the mikvah on Shabbos, and the water has schmutz in it. So the question is, if you can clear away the schmutz so that the part that you're going to be tovel in apparently incredibly quickly will be free of this garbage. So he comes out with kula for two reasons. You could say a kula that you don't consider this a taruvus. You could come up with a number of other kulas. But the kulas that he says, just to find interesting, second one more than the first. The first one he says is that you're not really successfully removing it. You're just pushing it away from you, but it still remains in the taruvus. So maybe that's not a bogar to begin with. But then he says also, I think very interestingly, that it's not going to last. Hopefully after you get out, but probably before you get out, it's going to come back to where it was. So therefore, there is no lasting tikkun here, so that's not considered to be an active borer for that reason. So again, whether or not that particular shaila is negated to you, Maybe it is, but even if it's not, I think the Yesodos are interesting that he's suggesting. I think it was Gilbert Dani.
Does that overlap with the idea we were saying yesterday about Machol Kebab Yerushalmi if you partially bore? Or is that
I don't think
taking something out of this?
Yeah, I think he's talking about here it's not removed at all. No, none of it's taken out of the water.
What's the exact difference in terms of...
Well, in the case of Yerushalmi, you're permanently removing some solas, you're not removing all of them solas. So here, you're not removing any of it. You're just pushing it aside, but it's still in its tyrobus. It's completely mixed in with the water the same way it was before. If you consider it tyrobus, if you want to say the other reason to make it, but it's not a tyrobus to begin with, so then either way, it's either not a tyrobus. It's just as much of a tyrobus as it was a minute ago. Either not being one or being the same one, but you're not changing its tyrobus nature. But then the second side, I think, is an interesting idea, which you don't find discussed so much in other contexts. That's why I find the Shaila abstractly to be interesting, that if it's going to, through the course of nature, revert back to where it was, so then that's not considered to be a tikkun. It's certainly not following the model of Borer La'otzer. I mean, something that's not going to last on its own in this state, certainly not following the model of Borer in the ideal sense. I think it was Donnie and Zinni.
Yeah, what about the concept of being masalik something? Because you're not actually...
Right, so that would also, I think I mentioned the first time around also, there are a number of other kulas one could say this, and it seems, the siluk thing is interesting, we also mentioned this yesterday, that on the one hand it seems to be an undisputed heter, but at the same time, I guess it's one of these subjective ideas that what's considered to be a siluk as opposed to borer must be controversial, because there are a lot of shilas which sound like siluk, which seem to be a more complicated discussion. So on the one hand, siluk seems to be not so much of a controversial heter, but what's in that category seems to be up for discussion. But I agree with you; that does seem to be relevant here. Could you argue? Why would you say that it's not? I guess because the nature of the tyrobus, the way that it's mixed in with itself, it's not just about getting it out of your way, but it's that you don't want it with you when you're there. That's probably the issue, that you're using the mixture and still you don't want the garbage in with you while you're using it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even leaving
the
mikveh.
It's not something in
the
way. It's not that like it's the door to the mikveh. It's part of the mikveh.
Right, but so if it's still part of the mikveh because you're pushing it away, so then it didn't even leave the tarobis. How could you violate a borer?
So that's his reason, right? He's saying that it's separate from the siluk.
So that's not to pushing away if it's still in the tarobis, I guess.
Right, that's the point, that it's still part of the tarobis. The tarobis isn't broken up. So all of these are interesting reasons, and all of these may be reasons not to make it. What I find most interesting about the tshuva, the reason I'm really sharing it, is mostly for his second conclusion, that if something is not a permanent change, and the way of nature is that it's going to be undone, then maybe we shouldn't consider that to be an active borer, and I think that's very compelling. If I remember correctly, in his language, he thought that last one was shakier. I think that last one was even more solid. I think that's an interesting yisod that makes a lot of sense. Okay, I think it was Sammy Ben Avram.
Did we mention last time with this tshuva that he tried to use the svara of the Taz, that, you know, by removing a svov from the coast?
I don't know if he said it. I think we brought it up. I don't know if he...
Oh, we brought
that
it.
That was another... We have apparently four or five reasons why this should be mutter. So all of them might be applicable. And again, you could certainly make all those cases. My primary interest in quoting this tshuva is for that yisod.
I can't think of an example. Would that mean that, like, if you like shake up like a drink with like an ownership of coconut or something, in a way that like it would get everything float to the top and then it will settle down later? So, like, that would also be a mutter?
To get the float to the top, so you could do what? So that you can drink the top, you drink the bottom.
But, like, let's say you don't like the pulp or something, so you just want to...
Right, but how does it help if you drink it from the top?
I can't think of a good example when this would happen. So, like,
but what are you accomplishing if you?
I have to think
about it a little more. We'll come up with an example. It's also pointed out by the poskim that there's no isser solas mitoch solas. So if you're putting away the garbage and you're separating the garbage into different categories, so then that's not by its nature borer. Rav Harfinis does have a fascinating discussion, which is worth reading, about whether recycling is different. Because when it comes to recycling, so if the government wants to use part of it for a constructive purpose, so does that take part of it also now? And there are a lot of fascinating avenues. Again, in the interest of time, we'll just remove them. But it's worth reading the tshuva, a lot of different things that are considered. So what about the fact that it's somebody else's usage rather than your usage? What about the fact that it'll be transformed in between now and then, but right now it's considered to be psolas? So does any of that make a difference. He also talks about what if you're separating out bottles because the store is going to now give you a refund for the bottles. Is that considered to make it ochel, or is that it just makes it valuable, doesn't make it ochel, just gives you back part of your money? A lot of different cheshbonos brought into the equation, a lot of different svaras, l'hakol l'hachmer. He himself is no l'hachmer on the recycling issue, but there are those who are mekel. It's a fascinating discussion itself, how it invokes different principles here. It's also yesod that if one, let's say one is feeding a child or one is giving to a guest, so then the ochel, what's ochel and what's psoles, is defined by the interests of the person who you are serving. So if you are, kids for example tend to have quirky tastes. So if you're giving psoles to a child, the child considers it ochel, so that's considered to be ochel mitoch psoles. Or if you're giving your friend the part of the food that he likes that you don't like, so that's considered to be ochel mitoch psoles, defined by your friend. And therefore, it's also pointed out that this is a potential harama, a permissible harama, that one could pull, that if one wants to take away the psoles from his ochel, but somebody else considers this psoles to be ochel, so if you give the ochel to that person, then it will become ochel mitoch psoles in that sense, and he'll be left with the ochel, and that would not be considered taking away psoles mitoch ochel. So that's a permissible harama that could work based off of that idea. Some of the other practical issues that are considered, so a lot of the issues we'll talk about in the next few minutes. There are a range of views, but their views are within somewhat of a narrow range. So, for example, taking out fish bones or taking out seeds of fruit, so watermelon seeds, something like that. So here you have a limited range of views that range from mutter to should be avoided, but if you have to, probably mutter. That there are those who feel that this is mutter, that it's not considered to be boer. You could say it for a few reasons. You could say that it's darach achila. That's like what Rabadi says in his children. And again, this illustrates somewhat of the range of views of what Gil asked about before, that what we mean when we say darach achila can mean different things to different people, but that the way of eating is that you have to eat like this. Nashi Gestetner has a tshuva where he also alludes to the whole question of the fact that there are some Rishonim who understand that psolos mitoch ochel can be mutter for immediate usage. So what that also means is that there's sometimes in a situation where the way of eating is going to require psolos mitoch ochel. Usually it's ochel mitoch psolos, but sometimes if we assume that the whole nature of the hefer of ochel mitoch psolos is because it's derech achila, so like Tosfos alluded to when we talked about rov and mir, you'll have a situation where derech achila may be the opposite, and if people eat fish this way by taking the bone out first, so then that's going to be considered derech achila as well. That's a perspective developed a little bit in the Shuvah Slahor of Nasa. Hi.
So practically speaking, does that mean that one would only be able to take out bones from the piece which he's eating, or he'd be able to take out for multiple bites?
So presumably, it gets into the subjective definition of miyad and derech achila, but I think you can make a case that everything that you're reading now, this is the way people normally eat, so then if you do acknowledge that to be the case, so then you probably say that however you would eat this during the week, you could consider it to eat it now if you're going to cut away.
Like during that meal, whatever you're going to eat at that meal?
I think you can make a case like that. Now you have others, and Moshe Feinstein and others are not really thrilled about this, and they do advise trying to do it ochel mitoch psoles, but even those who are machmir also say that essentially if it's absolutely impossible to do it any other way, or if you're feeding a child, and therefore you're also very limited in what you can do without risking choking the child, which is definitely highly discouraged. So even the machmirim are kind of begrudgingly makel if you can't manage it any other way. So again, on this issue, you kind of have a range of opinions that range from it's mutter or it's not ideal but acceptable when necessary. So too when it comes to peeling fruit. So peeling fruit, you have again a range of opinions which range from basically mutter to mutter, but different types of mutter. There are those who feel it's mutter because it's not borer at all. the Aruch HaShulchan sounds like that. He says there's no issue of borer and peeling fruits. He quotes Yerushalmi, which sounds like there is borer in terms of fruits and peels. But he says that's talking about something else. That's talking about we are ready. First you're going to peel all the fruits and have all the peels. Then you're going to have a whole stack of fruits and peels. Then it's about separating out the peels from the fruits. But taking a peel off of a fruit doesn't see that as an act of borer. Different explanations why. But there were many who didn't see that in the category of borer. Among those who did, so then you could say that even if it is borer, but it's still mutter for immediate usage, in the same type of sense as we've seen so far, similar to the fish bones. And maybe even if you want to say that's a problem of solus mitochokel, but again, if this is the only darach hachilu, there's literally no way to do it the other way around. You can't eat from the inside out. So then that's another version of saying it's mutter, that it's mutter for immediate usage under those conditions. Hi.
Just going back a couple steps, how come this question of peeling fruits isn't closer to dash and kfarik?
It is brought up in that context also. There is overlap between dash and kfarik and fish and borer. And that's some write the definition that borer is when the two things are mixed into each other and dash is when one thing is opposing another. Like Tal talked about that. There is, even though we've talked about borer as being related to Zorah and Merakid, there is also an overlap between Dash and borer, and there are a lot of common halachas and a lot of situations where they do seem like they are stepping on each other's territory. So this is an example where it is involved in both contexts. So if you assume that it is a shiloh of borer, so then, but it's mutter, let's say, la'alter, and maybe even we can handle the Ochel mitoch psolas issue and say that's also derech achila. So it should seem to say though that you shouldn't use a kli that's miyuchel b'kaf, that it should still have that restriction. So many do feel that way. It happens to be Rav Abadi has a tshuva where he's making on that as well. He says Rav Abadi's tshuva is printed in tshuvas or Yitzchak is what they call. So he has a tshuva there where he says he thinks it's mutter. He doesn't think it's an issue with borer, but he says that even if you did think it was borer, and therefore you don't want to do it for kli, so he has a kula, which others don't accept, but that he thinks that using a peeler is not called a kli for this, because even though it sounds like it, it's the definition of a kli, right, that's what it's named after it, but he says that a peeler essentially is not going to do any much of a better job than a knife, and in fact there are people who still prefer to use a knife rather than a peeler, so therefore he doesn't think that a peeler has the status of a kli for this purpose. So he's doubly maker. He thinks it's mutter to begin with, it's not borer. But if he did think it was borer and he shouldn't conduct a kli, he wouldn't consider a peeler to be a kli that was prohibited. Was
that be subjective though, in terms of it's only mutter if you prefer a knife over a peeler? You can doubt for using it for a peeler because...
Yeah, if he goes through everything in this issue is subjective, this is clearly, I think we've seen by far the most subjective of malachas in an objective sense. But I think his point is that since you see that there are people who prefer it, therefore that kills its kli status. So it's not considered to be something that creates a borer problem. You could argue, many do, but that's the way that he understands it.
I yes. Forgot that there were also Matthew's peelers.
What kind of same svar?
I don't know what the svar was. I just heard from this.
Okay. An issue also that I think most that really make a lot is the Brita water filters. This is really also more of a Merakid issue, which we'll revisit a little bit in that context as well. But mostly based on the svara that the average person will drink the water even without the filter, so therefore it should be mutter in that context.
Even in New Jersey?
I believe in New Jersey that's for sure the case.
I don't know New Jersey. I don't know
yes,
a lot.
But New Jersey definitely most people to drink the water without, even if those who use filters will acknowledge that, I think, as far as I know, living in New Jersey. Yes, sir?
Just with the food part,
yes.
When we say what's usher and plea, is it that nothing can do a good job in this, or that it was created for this purpose?
So there are two different things with plea. So when it comes to that, helpless borer in terms of the malacha of borer, it sounds like it's saying that it does a more effective job. When it comes to designated for that purpose, So that seems to be more of an Ovda Bechal issue when you find that in the context of some of the other malachas, that sometimes even if it's not technically a malacha, but if the kli is set aside for a certain type of activity, it sometimes takes on an Ovda Bechal issue. I think here we're interested more in whether or not it's the malacha, the rights of Borer, so that has to do with whether it does a more effective job of Borer. So that's the point that I think your question maybe would have been, so if we call it a peeler, so what do we care whether it does a better job or not? If it comes with a label on it that says peeler, and you went to the store and said, please give me a peeler, and everyone says, pass the peeler, so then doesn't that make it a kli habiyukul lakach? But nonetheless, no, it doesn't do a more effective job than anything else. And therefore, he's not concerned about it. Again, there are others who disagree.
If we say, like, we're generally holding like close or something, we have subjective and objective Ocham source, and what's the significance that most people drink?
Because when it comes to, that's not a question of which one is defined as Ocham source. We find specifically as a Mishnah, when it comes to miraculous, that it's not considered to be an act of purification in the Malacha sense if it's something that people drink. Without purification, so the fact that you're removing something from it, it doesn't make it more drinkable than it was before. Or significantly more drinkable than it was before. So the Ram talks about the mission about the different levels of what counts as what. And just the definition of Meraked, which is really what you're probably interested in that context, is defined by that.
It's also said initially
now in the mission? No, because it's a different together. It's not a question of subjective, objective, colors, comes with labeling one versus the other. It's a question of whether you need to go through the process in the first place, whether you really care about it. So that's why most are makel in terms of this Brita filters. Rav Abadi, who also is a tshuva, that's three Rav Abadi tshuvas in a row. So he has a tshuva where he talks about that. He also throws in a much more controversial issue, perhaps, maybe not before, but another whole can of worms, no pun intended, about whether or not microscopic creatures are subject to an answer of Borer, that maybe something you don't see by looking at it, maybe it shouldn't be subject to an answer in the first place. And he quotes in that context in Aruch HaShulchan that talks about the whole question of whether it's us or to eat the creatures that you can't see without looking through a microscope, which clearly opens up a whole other avenue of discussion in the realm of Yaradeya for a different time, but he does invoke that position as well. So we have about 3 minutes left, just enough to, we only wanted to mention one more point, so we'll just finish exactly on time. I just wanted to bring up one other issue, which is interesting also from a Lumbus perspective and a practical perspective. So the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha, talks about in the beginning of Hilchos Borer, I think in his introduction, when he starts off in Shin Yutes, so he talks about the question of, let's say somebody does an act of Berurah B'Shogeg, should we have a knash? Should we say that you're not allowed to benefit from it afterwards? So his natia is lahakel for a couple of reasons. One is because maybe the knas is only limited to where the Gemara says that there is a knas. Maybe it's not a malacha principle in general. We talked about it in the context of visual, in the context of planting. We have Gemara is talking about it specifically, that maybe it's not a kol hashabbos kula principle. And then he goes on to say, and this is a little more interesting, that maybe Bishul is different because Bishul, you really improve the Chetza. When it comes to Borer, that's not the case. So what does that mean, practically speaking? So Rav Sternbach has a tshuva where he reads into this Bir Halacha a statement of the Chayyadim. The Chayyadim has a often quoted comment that if you carry something from one place to the next, you do Hotzah, so then there's no knas on the object that you carry, because the chetza didn't change. So that seems like what he's saying here, except it's really not the same. It may be related, but it's different. When it comes to carrying something, so the chetza doesn't change. When it comes to Borer, we are assuming that you are improving the chetza, you are changing the chetza. What does he mean by saying it's not changing? Presumably what he means is that you could have done it beheder, and that's a principle that we've seen in most of the acts of Borer, that as complex as Borer is, and as daunting as it is, there usually is a way to do whatever you want to do beheder. So therefore, the case could be made that you're not nene from a malacha because you didn't have to do the malacha to get this hana. You could have gotten the same hana in a non-malacha way. So therefore, it's a shame that the malacha was done, but that's not providing you with any hana that you couldn't have gotten otherwise. So therefore, it's not shy to consent this and to say that this is nene from a malacha. Manshein came when it comes to bishul. There you've actually changed the food in a way that you couldn't have done otherwise. So that would be nedneh from the bishul, and maybe that's not parallel here. So it's an interesting lump, this, how you understand it, but the bottom line is, it seems to be the case that there presumably is not a knas for borer that was done in bishogim. The Mishnah Berurah says that, explaining it, was partially your Sternberg, partially our expansion of the Sternberg, in terms of the explanation. But the din is in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah is no talahakim on that. Okay, so that is pretty much what we wanted to say about Borer, so Avkan Borer. So what we'll do is, here's our agenda. So, has it been clarified?